hear people start coming in.
Boom, boom, boom.
It's really weird. This is how you hear people coming into a room. Yes, thank you.
So for today, we're going to start with introductions, reintroductions. We have some announcements and reminders. Next, we'll go into progress on current action items and status of current work items. And then we will close with most of the time, again, on DID focal use cases. So these are the inputs that we're using for the formation of the DID working group. We wanted to call attention to Bowden's Valid book and then also Yancey Ribbon's Reputation System. But also I noticed there were a couple of additional DID use cases on the mailing list. So when we get to that point, if there's anything you want to discuss, just add yourself to the queue and we'll get into it. Okay, introductions and reintroductions. Anyone new today that would like to introduce themselves? You can put yourself on the queue or just speak up. Wait 1 second, going through. Okay, let me see. It looks like just the usual group. So, Ryan, I'm going to pick on you. Can you reintroduce yourself?
I'd love to. My name is Ryan Grant. I came to Decentralized Identity through Bitcoin mm-hmm. Connections, and I'm mostly working on the BTCR specification, digital contract design. Company I'm involved with has some code coming together at the link I just posted. I guess I'm happy to be part of this group.
And we're happy to have you. let's see. Okay, so next we're moving on to announcements and reminders. Let's see. Okay, so first, one thing I wanted to call attention to, we had talked about having a summer DID verifiable credentials outreach. And for both of the reminders, there are issues with them that we will talk about in the next section. So let me just jump through them real fast, and then we'll get into details. The second thing that is happening is the MyData conference in Helsinki, Finland, August 29th through 31st. So the issues about that we wanted to discuss. So first of all, for the summer DID, we're doing progress on current action items. I'm sorry, David, I'm making it difficult to scribe. Okay, so we're moving into progress on current action items. So for the summer outreach DID verifiable credentials hackathon, we had talked about having it the week of July 16th, but there were a couple of things going on at the same time that I think we weren't sure if it was best to have it then or try to pair it with something else. So the other things going on that I had been familiar with were I think Microsoft was also planning a hackathon. And then I think also we were wondering if there's enough, if we should just group it with something else. It wasn't clear if there were enough people around. Joe, do you have any more context on that one? Or since we don't have Christopher does appear to be on the call.
I can add a bit.
Okay, cool.
So we had to do an outreach hackathon, not so much for implementers, but for those who might be interested in figuring out how DIDs work and getting their hands dirty for the first time. And a couple of things happened. One was Microsoft said, hey, we'd like to sponsor something maybe later in the summer. And then also some of the DID methods we know of aren't quite ready yet. So we better do it after the summer wraps up. That's maybe sponsored by Microsoft or coordinated with Microsoft, whatever, to have bigger events, maybe co-located with a couple of other things, which I'm not ready to talk about.
Okay, sounds good. Well, we can if you have any comments on that, either put yourself on the queue or write it into the chat. Otherwise, the chairs will be following up on this and letting everyone know. So just sort of a heads up for now. That will likely be moved or clustered with something else. The second thing I wanted to call out, which again, I will need either Joe or Christopher to weigh in on. So the MyData conference in Helsinki, there was originally some discussion about a DID panel there, but we've heard from the organizer that that's not going to happen. Instead, we're having a few specific talks about DIDs. And we had also pondered the idea of having a separate event afterwards, like a day DID-focused kind of thing, like the day immediately after. So there was some organizing that we needed to do about that. The other thing, though, is that Kalia mentioned that there's a breakout session on Wednesday, I think. And so we could also coordinate with her to do some separate breakout event during the conference, perhaps to get interest in the site event. So I'm calling that out just for two reasons, just heads up. We will get you more information. Add yourself to the queue if you have any questions or more information on that. I am going to create an action item for myself to follow up with Kalia to see about at least getting the breakout session. And Joe's on the queue.
Yeah, so I just want to talk about the extra day. We had at IIW, Christopher Allen and I had spoken with Yogi, who's one of the organizers behind My Data, maybe the organizer, about doing a Rebooting Web of Trust salon on Saturday. And I realized this group is not Rebooting Web of Trust. A lot of overlap with our community. And our next event, and the challenge is we're finding a venue and dealing with logistics of that. We've opted not to do that. So there's not going to be a Rebooting Web of Trust Saturday after the main Helsinki event, which is something we've been considering and talking to Yogi about. That said, there's going to be a lot of content in there, and we're going to help promote what they're doing, especially when folks in our community are going to be on panels. We'd like to help get about that kind of stuff.
Okay, excellent. Thanks, Joe. And I added a couple of action items just so that we can update our bookkeeping so we don't keep bringing this up.
Okay, great.
Okay. Next is status of work items. And 1 second. Okay, we wanted to, I was told to call on Manu to give us an update on DID spin-up, which I'm assuming means the DID working group. Manu's here. Manu, can you talk to that?
Actually, he is not here unless he showed up. He gave his regrets for this call.
Oh, okay.
I can, Kim.
Oh. Okay, thanks.
So we put him on the queue because something he mentioned on the planning call Friday, which is basically he was pretty happy with how things are advancing along the different lines of attack for splitting up a DID working group. I'm, as the guy trying to get the use case together, I'm thrilled with all the use cases we have coming in. I think that they're very good use cases. It's an ongoing process, but that's one of several deliverables. We have the charter, we have DID methods that need to get into place, and conversations with the rest of the W3C about how we advance DIDs. So in general, Manu expressed that he was feeling good about that, and I wanted to give him a chance to speak to it. But since he's not here, that's my report.
Okay, thank you, Joe. For work items, do we have any volunteers for anyone that wants to give their status update? Here is the list. Put yourself on the queue if you have a status to report. Ryan.
So this is a DID method status report. I posted the link for our code earlier that we are writing in C++. I'll post it again. If anybody is interested or capable at taking a look at this stuff, has any comments, how they want to plug it into other layers like a method resolver or anything like that, please give us some feedback. Thank you.
Actually, Ryan, I had a quick question about that. I was wondering if you could talk briefly to the TFREX extensions that Dan had entered. So just for reference, everyone, BTCR method uses the BESH32 TXREF encoding, BESH32 encoding TXREF position BIP. It is not accepted as far as I understand yet, but I see it used pretty widely. So BTCR wants to use it, but we also want some extensions to it, for example, to include output index and things like that. Do you know, I know that Dan's been working on a draft to basically extend that proposal. Do you know what the next steps for that should be? Do we need any support on that?
The next step is that we kind of improve our GIF to the BIP, the existing BIP, a little bit. It's a proposed BIP. It's not an actual accepted Bitcoin BIP, but it's kind of enough to get the information out there, and so we'll be continuing that tradition. But we need to improve our explanation of how to parse the difference between a reference to a transaction and this thing that we're doing, which is going to reference directly into a transaction output of a transaction. For those of you who understand blockchain stuff, you know that each transaction can have multiple outputs, and so we're going to extend the existing idea a little bit for that.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next we can move to the use cases, the focal use cases for the DID working group. I'm checking to see if Bowden is on the call.
Yes, hi.
Oh, you are. Excellent.
Yeah, hi, I'm here. Let me talk a little bit about this use case. So the idea of the use case is to globally uniquely represent living human individuals in a digital space using valid book statements. So here we have two key points. We want to represent living human people that live in a real physical world, and we want to do this in a unique way. So this representation should be unique. So one human person should have only one unique identity. Why do we want to do this? Because we want to create tokens that are called KUDOS that we can use to maintain and develop valid book services. Valid book services are the services that are meant to improve cooperation in between people and virtual entities, so companies, organizations, governments, and also intelligent things. For example, just to put it into a practical perspective, we have, for example, social networking services. And it is well known that that they are not optimized for interests of their users, but they are because they are deformed by the interests of their of the companies that are behind them. So the idea, the original idea, was to create like social networking services that are aligned with the interests of their users. So in order to do this, we need to we can use DIDs, DIDs, and create self-sovereign identities. And these self-sovereign identities can create statements of unique representation of living human individual. So they are called Surulhi statement, and what it means? It means, of course, any person can have any number of digital identities, but one digital identity makes additional verifiable credential, so additional statement that it uniquely represents a human individual. And then that identity provides some proofs to that statement and asks community to endorse that statement. So basically we have, after that, other identities that have high reputation, and they can estimate those proofs and those endorsements from the community, and so we call them arbiters, and those arbiters can acknowledge and say that this Suruhi claim is valid, and after that, that identity can receive kudos. So, in this way, we can create tokens, we can create money that are valued, and use these tokens to maintain and develop valid book services. Does it make sense?
Thank you. Actually, I noticed Joe's on the queue. He has a question.
Thanks, Fodan. That's a very interesting use case. One had you use it uniquely represent part of the use case, but I didn't quite see if you were tapping deduplication add-on. By deduplication, I mean how, you know, Adhar, it's one of the things that they do well, despite their other problems, which is that they can verify that a single living person isn't claiming two identities within the system. Is there anything there in what you're doing in this use case?
I'm sorry, you were breaking. As far as I understood, the question is about deduplication. So defense against single attacks, right? So that one human person can create a lot of claims, can create a lot of identities and claim that those identities represent different real living humans. This is the key question to possibility of creating kudos and creating unique representation of living humans. I think it is possible through the use of arbitration service. So that there is a link that describes how arbitration service is going to work, and also like a demo alpha version of arbitration service. The point here, the key point here is that identity, the burden of proof is on identity. So identity has to prove that it uniquely represents living human. And what proofs can identity provide? First of all, this identity can use verifiable credentials with evidences and prove that it owns or controls social networking services. So, for example, Facebook, Twitter, these accounts at these social networking services. When arbiter will look at these proofs, they can understand that all right, this that there is some proofs that this identity is represents active real human, and but of course it can be faked in different ways. So the best way to prove that identity is real and it uniquely represents human is to have endorsements from community, and these endorsements represented on arbitration service, but by endorsers graph, and the arbiters can look at this graph and see who endorsed this Suruhi claim and who endorsed those endorsers, and so on. So arbiters will be able to see short paths between identity in question and the highly trustworthy identities. So just to explain it on an example. For example, there is an identity that claims to represent a student in one university. That identity provides proofs that, for example, that it owns LinkedIn account. In this LinkedIn account, we can see that this person is a student in some university. So it is logical that that student is going to have within his endorsers on first or on second level professors from that university or a president from that university. So then arbiter can look at the graph, at endorser's graph of that identity and see if there are any professors or where is the president of that university on the ego graph, so this endorser's graph of that identity. So my point here is that I think in practice it's going to be quite reliable to find sigils and to find honest identities.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Next on the queue is Adrian.
Two quick points about this. First of all, I did speak with the chief architect of ADHAR a couple of weeks ago. What's in the relevance of ADHAR to this conversation is that they have deduplicated identities now, and they have to apply them to finance and to healthcare in the real world. And those are very different situations because in healthcare, you don't necessarily want to deduplicate people. People have a right to be pseudonymous or anonymous in receiving healthcare. Whereas in finance, obviously, there are many situations where you do need to do that. And I don't think we, as a group, have actually come to grips with this duality as we relate to DID that's just being brought up in right now. The second point, and I'm going to make this maybe a little later as well, is that I don't understand these arbitrators that that are being discussed and whether they're any different from a federated identity where you decide to pick, let's say Facebook as the arbitrator that judges your, evaluates your graph and decides to say, you are this person, or and deduplicate you. One of the reasons I find essential to the work we're doing for DID is that we don't have to involve arbitrators, or we don't have to involve federated identity providers the way we used to. And so I'm a little confused as to. When we introduce the idea of an arbitrator, actually what that means.
Okay, so arbitrators or arbiters, right, they estimate the validity of Surulhi claim. So actually what we need to understand, what arbiter needs to understand is whether identity represents a uniquely living human individual. Arbiter does not need to understand the name, the real name of that person, any other kind of information Arbiter doesn't need to know how the person looks like. It just needs to estimate that the validity of the claim, of the Suruhi claim. So let me first explain the kudos, the tokens, why we want to do this, and then it will be a little bit clearer. So the idea is to create token, create money that can be used to finance, to fund the operations of Valid Book. So this money needs to be valued by people, by market, in order to finance these operations. Now we know that we can create tokens because we have a blockchain. So, there is Bitcoin, but the problem with Bitcoin that it cannot be used, for example, to finance other services for cooperation rather than only money. So, anyway, the idea is to say that we have people, right? 7.5 billion of people in 2018, and we have quite precise estimates how many people we are going to have for the next 100 years. So the idea is that let's create one token per one person per day. So in 2018, it's going to be about 7.5 billion of tokens per day. Now we want to distribute them. But in order to incentivize early adopters and incentivize to support value of the token and to support the creation of this, to incentivize people to provide proofs that their identities are real, that their identities are unique representation of them. We will distribute tokens in such way that only those identities that have acknowledged valid Suruhi is going to will receive tokens, and those identities or those people who didn't create who do not have a valid Suruhi will not receive tokens. So, for example, if we have in one day, we have 1,000 identities with valid Suruhi. Those 1,000 identities are going to receive 7.5 billion of tokens in equal shares. So each of them is going to receive 7.5 million tokens. So in such way, we create a very strong incentive for people to provide proofs that their digital identity represents them uniquely. What proofs? As I said, social networks, but mainly endorsements from their communities. But who is going to estimate those proofs, mainly this social graph? Arbiters. Who are the arbiters? Who are the judges? And If we are going to have a central authority, it's very dangerous. It can be corrupted with time. So we want to have decentralized arbiters. And the idea comes from Wikipedia admins. So just any identity can be an arbiter. Some identities with time. So actually these identities can be pseudonymous, so they should not be linked or may not be linked to person. And this identity just accrue reputation with time and becomes known to be trusted to be a very good estimator of Suruhi claim. And then just these are arbiters. They just estimate validity of Suruhi claims. Similarly, as editors on Wikipedia create articles about some topics, and then they cross-check each other. So yeah, so the arbiters can do this, analyze graph and other proofs and acknowledge Surhi valid or not.
Next up is Ryan. Oh, sorry, Adrian, were you about to say something?
Yeah, I don't think I can't follow the this process. Anyway, all right, let's keep going.
Okay, right.
So the Surlis, the S-U-R-H-L-H-I's, they're certainly welcome to use decentralized identity protocols, but I'm seeing a conflict with the spirit of revealing the narrowest certifications possible to get authorized for some purpose. For instance, I haven't heard you say that if I do reveal a Surly to a website, that they will not then be able to associate that with all the other Surlys that I've used to prove that I'm a person for other websites. It seems like a way to link everything back together, and that seems against the spirit of creating your own DIDs for separate purposes.
No, so you can still use separate DIDs for separate services in order to preserve your privacy and anonymity, but here, if you want to create identity that uniquely represents you, you can do this, right? And we have a service, arbitration service, that will estimate the claim of your identity that it uniquely represents you, and depends on the level, on the rigor that we want to have, it will acknowledge this claim. So it doesn't hinder all other ideas where DIDs can be used. It's just the idea that we want to create value for these tokens. We want to distribute them in such way that these tokens can be valued, and also what is also very important, to distribute them in a fair way. So, for example, if we look at Bitcoin, the question to wider adoption of Bitcoin, there are two questions. One question about governments and scaling and so on. Another question is about fairness. So it was it is estimated that it mostly belongs to 100 entities or something like that. So early adopters got a lot of Bitcoins, and now the whole other world doesn't have access to them. Of course, there are ideas that they can be redistributed with time, but it is a question, right? Here, the idea is that we can not only distribute tokens in more fair way, but also use them for something useful. Yes, so for to create and support cooperation services. And what cooperation services, and why this is important? So social networks, it's evident that they are not really good for right now in that form that they are now. They are too engaging. They do not preserve privacy. The same with other services. So, for example, emails or chats. Well, okay, chats now are end-to-end encrypted, but emails are not end-to-end encrypted, and there are no strong incentives for these providers of these services to make them end-to-end encrypted, because they use data for advertisements. And why also this service is needed? Because this service allows people and organizations to coalesce and to have one standard, for example, for documents. So for verifiable credentials. So this is just can be a huge push for adoption of verifiable credential services standard and DADs.
Joe, you're next.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah, I'm trying to keep this short because I know we've got another use case to look at. But to Aidan's point about what are these arbiters and are they reintroducing centralization, I'm advocating another project. Think of them as notaries, where you might go to a notary, have them assert that they've looked at your documentation, and the person who's signing the document has that identification card or what have you. So that's that architecture. It's fully distributed, but you're getting a body to evaluate, basically, and make claims about claims, endorsements of claims. So that's all.
Yes. Yeah, so sorry, you were breaking again. I didn't catch everything, but. Yeah, so regarding notaries, yes.
Hold on, we need to move on to the other topics.
Okay.
So I was just trying to introduce about
okay.
it.
Last on this topic, DCC?
Yeah, this is Dave Chawner. It seems to me as though by having this graph, you basically have a network of people that you know that's out there for people to see, for all these arbiters can now determine all sorts of information about you by knowing with whom you associate, which was one of the problems that got Facebook in trouble, is by sharing that information with people. Because knowing
yes.
who you associate with tells an awful lot about you.
Yes, of course. So this thing is, if you don't want for public to know your community, you may not play this Suruhi game, right? So, or you may not add that person into your endorser's graph. It is actually quite public information for most of the people with whom they are associated, right? Another thing is that it was dangerous with Facebook, because it's not only that Cambridge Analytica, for example, knew with who people are associated, with whom they are friends, but also they had information about what those friends liked. So they understood what those friends liked and so on. Here, this information can be closed. So it's okay. Yes, it will be public with whom you are associated, but it's not going to be public who are those people, what they like, and it will be not that simple to understand information about you based on them. Yeah, so you can control who endorses you. You have to endorse them back, and this graph is undirected. So it's not only as in a web of trust, when anyone can endorse your claim, your certificate, you have to endorse back.
Okay. Sorry, I can't get on the queue, but why would you have people verifying other people's identity if you have two different things as arbiters like Facebook and Google? They're going to have the same kinds of data sets, and there's going to be points where those intersect. Like something like your location data from two disparate silos will verify you. Would that not be smarter? Does that require an API from Google or something? Because with GDPR, people could get their data. So could they not use two completely non-correlative pools of data to find pieces of data that correlate to prove you are who you are? Why do we have to rely on other people?
Well, I didn't catch all but the thing is that we say that in general, we do not trust any central organization, so we do not trust We do not trust Google. We do not trust Facebook. We do not trust.
I'm not saying trust. I'm not saying trust them. I'm saying that your data that's collected by them is yours. If you're a European citizen, which now applies to most of the world. So if you have data from two different places, why can't those be credentials if they line up to tell the same story?
Sorry, I didn't understand that. Maybe someone can rephrase it.
I'm sorry, quick interruption. Was that Samantha or Heather?
Sorry, that's Samantha. I'm traveling and I can't get on the queue. I apologize. I'm just at an airport.
Oh, no worries. We're just marveling how similar your voices sound. So we're attributing to the wrong person. So, okay, it is Samantha. Let's see. So one thing I want to check first, was there any follow-up to that? Adrian is on the queue, but then we really need to move on to Yancey's use case. And Yancey, if you have any materials that you can pass along for us to start glancing through, we can go ahead and start queuing you up.
Sure. How did you want me to send that through IRC or?
Yeah, IRC is good.
Okay. Yeah, one sec.
Okay, so to follow up, was there any follow-up that anyone wanted on Samantha's last point?
I have a text question pending to put down when he's ready for text.
Okay,
the issue is one of privacy. I mean, I could download all my from Google and Facebook and then provide that to someone to prove that I am who I am, but then I'm giving them all my Facebook and all my Google data, and I really don't do that. So.
No. Like, the use case I'm talking about is, like, Kalia's personal cloud. You have rights to your data the same way Google has rights to your data. It's not about them being the party that verifies you. It's that your data is what verifies you. Your data yours as theirs. So if you have two separate points, like say your location data on your phone, which is from a sensor of a gyroscope, and the location data of something else, prove that you are the same place.
But only if you give the data to someone. So the trick is how to leverage that data without revealing it.
Right. So you need sort of personal cloud or some sort of access to stream that data in. Right now, the people that you ask for your data from, it's still sharing it if you have some sort of encrypted cloud or you have access to it. Could you not have an ID that is a central point that is your streaming access to your data?
Right, but it's still access to the data. The point is, I don't want to share the data.
Right. So, but why are we asking for privacy when we don't have it anymore? We don't have privacy anymore.
We won't
for long. No, we don't, because in a couple of years you'll be able to tell everything from just by somebody being on a Wi-Fi network. If you continue to act as though we have privacy and protect it, you're asking for people to be discluded from insight. Privacy is the problem here.
I oppose the surveillance world, and I endeavor with all of my professional efforts to be wrong. But we need to take that cue so we can get to the other topics.
Okay, I did promise to get to Adrian, and then Yancey shared the document, but I'm having problems accessing it. So, Adrian, go ahead.
Quick point. Joe suggested that this was a notary, that this was an example of notarization. And I wanted to say that I don't think it is, in the sense that the notary is not capable of deduplication. And the issue here seems to be all about deduplication. Yeah. The notary depends on a deduplicated identity, namely your driver's license, to otherwise. So it's not simply a matter of getting an arbitrator to make a claim about a bunch of claims. That doesn't solve the deduplication problem.
Yep, great point.
Okay, thank you, everyone. That was a great discussion. And Yancey has updated the document so we can access. It's called DID Reputation Algorithm, and I'll turn over to Yancey.
Okay, thanks, Kim. So this was just an idea that I had as a basic use case for DID. Essentially, it would just be a way for people who use social media to request a reputation threshold for activity on their social media account. So I think we've all sort of seen the spam attacks that can happen on your social media account. And so the use case I came up with was to set up sort of a reputation system that could then be linked to by any social media account. And I think this would be a huge changer, because each social media provider wouldn't necessarily need to create their own ban lists and sort of fight spammers on an individual basis. But by using a decentralized platform, we can sort of get around the problem of having one authority have all of having full authority over everybody's reputation. So this is kind of an interesting thing that I think DID could be used for. Obviously, there's sort of a lot of details that would need to be figured out as far as actual implementation. And I guess one of the other sort of things that I think this algorithm could define is sort of how you would calculate reputation. So sort of the assumption is maybe even bots could have DID that they can use to interact with on social media. And so there should be some way to sort of identify that bot activity. So as soon as there's any new DID created, they would start at sort of the lowest reputation, which would prevent the possibility of bots getting downvoted and then just being able to go over to a new DID or something of that method. So I think that's basically a summary of what I had in mind. And yeah, the description's on a Google Doc that I shared, so.
Hello.
I don't know if we lost Kim. Adrian, why don't you go ahead?
Okay. Two questions. First of all, are you not describing another instance of the deduplication problem? I think the last thing you said was in terms of the bot acting, or creating bots as a form of Sybil attack. It sounds to me that this is just a variant of the deduplication issues that were just raised in the previous use case. The second point is completely different. Every time I've talked to people, and I'm very interested in this problem of creating reputations around DIDs, everybody seems to come back and say reputations have to be contextual. And so to the extent that we want to tackle a reputation use case, which I would be, I would encourage you or us to do, there would have to be some way that we account for context, or that we, that we agree what the role of context is relative to reputation when we do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your first point as far as a variant of deduplication. Yeah, I think it did sound like there was some of the same issues there. This is sort of something that goes along with some of the other problems as far as, you know, if you have someone with a DID who is fraudulent or a spammer that downvotes or upvotes someone with another like spam account, how do you sort of how do you address that, I guess, which is it would be an open problem that would need to be solved. And then as far as contextual, I guess I'm not 100% sure on what you mean by that. Do you think you could give me a quick example of what you're...
Yeah, having the reputation of my Lyft driver is very different from their credit score reputation. If I'm a bank, I don't care about his driving record, and if I'm a passenger in his car, I don't really care about his credit score.
Mm-hmm. I think that so that's a good point that this type of reputation would be of a different context perhaps than others, but at the same time, a driving score can help sort of give you a reputation that you're not a bot or something of that nature. So so in some sense, I do agree with that, but I think it's pretty open-ended.
Ryan, you're up.
Quick question. So does use of this system start one with an initial score higher than a bot? If so, how? Because why can't a bot just create the same set of identities and start at the same level?
Sorry, can you say that again?
If I opt into this system, do I get an initial higher reputation score than somebody who does not opt into this system?
That's a good question. I haven't considered that edge case yet.
A quick note for me is it did look like everyone starts on the same level, so you have to prove you're human first was my reading of it, but I could be wrong. And Bowden is next.
Yeah, so regarding the duplication, I just wanted to say that in the context of valid book, it's not that we need to know absolutely for sure if this is identity, if this identity has no duplicates or there are some duplicates. There is some percentage that we can allow to have fakes in a valid book. It's inevitable to have them, so it's not the same as you would go to the physical notary and he would check your passport. But I think with the time, the Surhi claim is going to be as valid as physical government issued documents. And regarding the contextual reputation, so for example, arbiter's reputation is only about reputation, how good the identity of arbiter in evaluating the validity of Surhi claim. And Surhi validity is just a kind of a reputation that this is a real human. We don't really need to know the name of this human or how this human looks like. We just need to know that this is actually a human.
So we're at time, and I'm going to close with Joe, who is very appreciative of all these wonderful use cases. Joe?
Yeah, I just want to say thanks both for the discussion and for the multiple people who have taken time to do a write-up in the format that I requested. We'll be going through these. We have some more. Adrian, I want to get yours in the conversation. And Moses also fleshed out his a little bit more. We're also going to be putting those through, you know, a process that will refine them and edit them and pull them together into a coherent single document. So this is great starting point. I love the conversation, and thank you for your contributions, folks.